Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So, what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left all alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, something that many Christians don't understand, and yet it's something that we do believe by faith, is that when our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for every single one of us uniquely. That he died for us individually, that every single one of us can look at the cross and say, "He died for me." That if I'd been the only person to ever exist, the only person on the face of the earth, he still would have given his life. Now, he died for the entire world and all the sins of the world collectively, but he also gave his life personally for each one of us in a particular manner. And numerous mystics down through the ages, our Lord has given them to understand this, that the night before, during the agony in the garden, when he began to sweat blood, it was because in that moment, every human being, the face of every single one of us, every person who would ever live, passed through his mind, so that he would choose every single one of us, that he died for us individually by choice. Now, with that in mind, when our Lord did give his life on the cross, who was the human being who most needed his redemption? Because not all of our sins are the same. My brothers and sisters, when our Lord gave his life, who most needed him to die for them? Now, you might be thinking of some of the greatest sinners, or whom we believe are the greatest sinners in the history of the world. Serial killers, mass murderers, maybe certain dictators, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin. My brothers and sisters, there is a spiritual truth that is so necessary for us to understand, and it is this. When our Lord died on the cross, he did not die above all for the greatest sinner. He died for the greatest saint. Because the greatest saint needed his mercy more than the greatest sinner in order to become the greatest saint. When our Lord died on the cross, he gave his life above all for the Blessed Virgin Mary. Not because she had the most sins, because she had no sin. He gave his life so that she could be preserved from all sin. Let me use a more practical example to explain this. In reading the story of a soul, the life of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, she has this striking line that the first time someone reads, they go, "What?" She says, "I believe that I needed more mercy from God than St. Mary Magdalene did." Now, who's St. Mary Magdalene? Tradition holds that she's the woman that we just heard about today, the woman caught in adultery. And why was she committing adultery? Because she was a prostitute. She committed adultery hundreds, thousands of times. She was a woman, Scripture says, out of whom our Lord cast seven demons. And St. Thérèse of Lisieux, when she entered the convent, she was 15 years old, right? St. Thérèse of Lisieux, her parents are both canonized saints. One of her sisters is a canonized saint. Two of them are on the way to beatification. Could you imagine growing up in that home? Right? She gets to the monastery, she's 15, she had asked to enter earlier. And when she gets there, she makes a general confession, which is typical when a young man enters the seminary or a woman the convent. They make a general confession. The priest hearing her confession, you know, St. Fulton Sheen, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, Venerable Fulton Sheen, hopefully canonized one day. He one time said, listening to sisters' confessions is like being stoned to death with cotton balls. So St. Therese making her first general confession, the priest says to her afterwards, he says, I don't believe you've ever committed a serious sin in your life. I don't believe you have ever been without the grace of God. Now, how could a woman like that say, I needed God's mercy more than St. Mary Magdalene? She uses the example. She says, imagine a dad walking hand in hand with his daughter. And as they're walking along, his daughter trips and falls into a mud puddle. And that dad, he reaches down out of love for his daughter. He lifts her up. He cleans her off. He gets her a new pair of clothing. She says that dad would be performing a great act of mercy. She said, now imagine that same dad walking hand in hand with that same daughter, and he sees the mud puddle coming, and he prevents his daughter from ever falling in the first place. That would be a greater act of the mercy of God. For Mother Mary to be without sin, she received more mercy than any other human being ever. Jesus Christ died above all for her. This is why our Lord can say, let the one who is without sin be the first to throw a stone. He's saying to everyone there, do you think your sins are less than this woman's? Even though publicly it seems like she's a greater sinner. My brothers and sisters, sometimes a small sin by a saint could be more grievous in the eyes of a great saint by a great sinner. We cannot judge because we never know. I remember St. Teresa of Avila. Two lines of hers. She's a mystic, a doctor of the church. She had ecstasy. She had revelations. She said, the more that a person grows in humility, the less surprised they are by the sins of another. And when a person is perfected in humility, the sins of others cease to surprise them. So you know how every once in a while someone comes to you and says, oh my gosh, do you know what so-and-so did? Right, you hear and you go, oh my gosh, you know, how could that person do that? She said, that vanishes. She said, because when someone becomes a saint, they know, like no one else on the face of the earth, how much they are in need of God. And she said this. She said, I have come to the point where I know that there is no sin that I am incapable of committing. One of the greatest saints in the history of the church, there is no sin that I am incapable of committing. When someone comes to know that, they're not going to judge their neighbor any longer. That's what the saints came to know. My brothers and sisters, we live in an age in which sometimes people confuse judgment with holding someone accountable. And I close with this. To not judge someone does not mean that we dismiss their sins, that we excuse their sins, and above all, it does not mean that we condone their sins. Sometimes people say, oh my gosh, you can't judge that person because we're trying them to help them come out of sin. You can live in such a way where you condemn no one, and yet you do all that you can to lead people out of the sins that they are involved in, and that is not judgment, that is love. Our Lord says to the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you, but do not sin anymore. I had a lady come to me one time for confession, and I close. And she said to me after her confession, she said, Father, one of the best penances that I ever received, she said, I said to the priest that I really struggle with being critical of others. I oftentimes, she said, it seems every confession I would have to say, I've judged so-and-so. And she said, the priest told me, whenever you fall in that way, or whenever you're conscious of making judgments of others, or you're being tempted to do so, he said, immediately turn that temptation into prayer. Instead of judgment, intercede. He said, it won't be long before you cease judging others, because Satan's not going to want to tempt you in that way any longer, because he's going to realize that by doing so, you're assisting others on the way to salvation. We ask St. Mary Magdalene to assist us to be without condemnation of others.